juggling work, life, and receivers who can't catch a cold. We get it. And we got you. New York Sports. No filter. The Fan. 101.9 FM and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, 303, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. You know, me and Marco were just talking about it. Obviously, with the Tatum injury, here's the one thing I don't want to see. And obviously, let's make it crystal clear. Nobody is happy that Tatum got hurt. Nobody's happy. No, I don't think any real Knicks fan is excited that Tatum's down or was happy to see it or anything like that. Obviously, nobody. I want to beat the Celtics at their best. I mean, yes, do I want to win an NBA championship? Yeah, and we have that conversation a lot, not just in basketball, but do you want the hardest road? Like, I've been on the record with the Yankees. I want to take on the Astros, although that's changing now because they're not the same team and they're not playing as well. But, like, I wanted to beat the Astros. I wanted revenge on my way to a championship. But obviously you want the championship. But what I don't want to hear after hearing that injury, and you've already gotten it a little bit from, you know, one of the big-time, you know, public Celtic fans in Dave Portnoy of Barstool, El Presidente. Already with, like, you know, well, who could think of wins and losses at a time like this? All we think about is Jason Tatum. And sure, yeah, I mean, I understand why his teammates would think that. And, you know, it is crushing for a guy who's at the peak of his career. And now you're worried about more than just this series, more than just this game. You're worried about his career. So I get that. But what I don't want to see, and let's be fair, this game was decided before that injury. The New York Knicks won this basketball game with Jason Tatum on the floor, and by the way, scoring 40 points. Was it 42 to be precise? They did not win this game because Tatum was lost. They were up 3-1 against the Boston Celtics with Tatum playing all of the games. And I don't want to hear any anti-Knicks fan or Boston Celtic fan, if this series does eventually go the Knicks' way, which, again, they still have to win another game, I don't want to hear anybody hide behind this. I don't want to hear anybody say it's the reason why the Knicks won. The Knicks had taken a commanding 3-1 lead in this series with Tatum being there for every significant minute of every game. It sucks that he got hurt. It's really, you know, it's gut-wrenching watching him get stretched, you know, walked off the floor, unable to put any pressure, and then the wheelchair, and you feel for him as he's crying into a towel. I felt for the guy. We unfortunately saw it twice tonight with the New York Yankees and Oswaldo Cabrera as well. You feel sick for these guys. They do everything. Jason Tatum is one of the greatest players in the NBA. He's a world champion. He played for the United States of America over the summer last year. Like, he is a good dude, a great player, and I want him in this series because I want to beat them full. You know, at their best. But make no mistake, the Knicks were winning this series with Tatum or not. And I don't want to hear Boston Celtic fans and Knicks haters try and hide behind this injury as why the Knicks won the series. I think that would be foolish, and I think it's just inaccurate. Yeah, it looks like if they get the fourth win, it'll be without Tatum, but this series was decided, this game certainly was decided, before Tatum ever got hurt. The Knicks did take down the big bad Celtics. The Knicks did go in and take on the defending champs at full strength and beat them. Now, I know Porzingis is dealing with an illness or whatever, but they did go and do the impossible. They were not gifted it. They were not handed it. I know the Celtics haven't played well at times. I know the Celtics missed 75 out of 100 threes in the first two games. I don't care. I don't want to hear anything else, but the New York Knicks went and took this thing. You want to say it's more about, oh, the Celtics losing than the Knicks winning? There is no difference. That's life. Someone loses, someone wins. The Knicks went into this series as enormous underdogs, as big as an underdog as you can possibly be. And they're up 3-1, and the Celtics were at full strength while it happened. And it's unfortunate that that won't be the case in the next three games, I would imagine. Hey, you never know. Maybe it's not as bad as we all think. But however the Knicks get the fourth one, they won this series against the full defending champs at full strength with every opportunity to run the Knicks out of the gym, and they never could do it. The New York Knicks deserve every flower thrown at them over the next 2 days, and hopefully after Game 5 when they win the series. 888-808-1019. In that case, maybe I'll call back up Sal and say I can go to the Friday night Yankee game, because I got to be honest, like, Sal asked me to go to the game. Mitch and Sal are going, and Mitch asked me to go, and I'd love to go. And early on, I had my son's science project that got moved to June, so that wasn't an issue, and I told Mitch as such, but I'm sorry. And this speaks to Evan saying I'm not a Knicks fan. As much as I would love to go to the Friday night baseball game, I would have to move some things around. I'd have to ask my mother to babysit because my wife has plans. She's chaperoning an event at school. So, like, I had to have to figure some things out, but it's worth it. But not to miss Game 6 of the New York Knicks. I can't do it. I can't be at Yankee Stadium watching on a phone for Game 6. I can't do that. I don't know how any Knicks fan could. I have to be watching the game. I understand Sal made a commitment. I'm not trying to take shots at anybody. I understand. Sal told the guy yes already a long time ago. He feels like he's committed to this thing. I get it. But I have a tough issue not watching Game 6, and hopefully there is no Game 6. We'll see. That would be ideal. Can you imagine the Knicks beating this team in 5? Who would have thought that? You made a hell of a lot of money betting the Knicks in 5. Jeff and Clinton, what's up, Jeff?
Hey, how's it going, Chris? Love the show.
Oh, thank you, brother. What's going on?
Nah, I just want to say I can't believe that the Knicks is just literally one win away from
it's crazy.
The Eastern Conference Finals.
It is crazy that they are one win away from
with the Pacers. Yep. Like, I mean, it seems like the Pacers are going to make it, right? I mean, they're up 3-1.
Well, they're up 3-1, and they're, you know, obviously they're banged up, and the Cavs are banged up. So, yes, I mean, I would think most likely that it is going to be the Indiana Pacers in the Eastern Conference Finals, yeah.
What's your prediction, Chris? Let's hear it first right now.
In this series or the next series?
Next series. You know they're going to win. You know they're going to pull out Game 5 or 6.
I think the Knicks are going to win in 5 in this series. I'm not going to give you the Eastern Conference Finals. I think the Knicks are going to win the next game. I think the Celtics are really devastated. I think they're devastated. It's a damning injury, and as long as the Knicks come out with the intensity they've come out with in the games they've won, 1, 2, and 4, they've been a great road team. They're 5-0 on the road. Barring the Celtics just hitting, again, 65% to 70% of their threes. Now, again, they're not a pushover. They got a lot of good players. They got a lot of great players. But I have a feeling that the Celtics are going to have a tough time recovering from watching their best player scream for a timeout and pound the floor in pain, and knowing that it's a devastating injury, not just a tweaked ankle where, you know, if this were April or if this were, you know, March, there'd be a chance he'd be playing in the series. Like, this could be something where they don't see him all of next year. I just think that's a tough thing to overcome, already down 3-1. So I would expect the Knicks to go winning in 5 now at this point. Bobby in Manhattan. Bobby, you were at the game last night.
I was, baby. That was absolutely electric.
Oh,
that was,
man.
Bobby, one of the best sporting events I've ever been to in my life.
Where were you?
I was right behind the basket. My buddy got tickets for about probably a third of the price that they were going for on StubHub.
Really? How do you do that?
It was season ticket holder, and he was just giving them away, basically. It was awesome.
That's awesome. I was going to say, did he give you guys all a ride in his Bentley, or did you guys take the train there? Or
No, I'm a Manhattan boy. I couldn't believe that I got him. Anyway, it was incredible. I'm a born and raised New Yorker. Grew up watching Knicks back in the Ewing era. I went to Georgetown too, so I'm a double Ewing guy.
Sure.
But I actually got pulled over back in the Friday before Easter weekend, driving down to my aunt's in Maryland, and I asked, a boomer wasn't working. It was Geo. I called in, and I said, listen, you know, normally during the spring, it's great when you got, you know, the Rangers going, the whole city's hype, like people are leaving work early to go to the bars, and it's like the whole city's electric. It's nice spring out.
Right.
And my question to them was, you know, do you think the Knicks are going to have the same juice in the city as the Rangers always do? And that question was answered, I think, tonight when they shut down 7th Avenue.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think the Knicks present more juice than the Rangers. I'll be totally honest with you. I think there are more Knicks fans than Ranger fans because there are less Net fans than Islanders and Devils. Like, there's just, it's the one city that kind of unites us. I think these games, these big games, thank you for the call, Bobby, is much, listen, there are no loyal, I worked with Mike Francesa for a long time, and Mike used to say the two most loyal fan bases are the New York Giants and the New York Rangers, that those were the two most loyal fan bases in this city. So I'm not trying to knock the New York Rangers. I'm a Ranger fan. It's a great fan base, and they go nuts for these games. And I've been to a ton. I wish we had the ability now to go to these games with the press credential. But I went to a ton of Ranger playoff games during the Lundqvist era. I went to pretty much every home game. It was before I was married. It was before I had kids. I went to every single Ranger playoff home game throughout all of those runs. And they played 7-game series and damn near every series. So I was at 3 or 4 games in every round at MSG. And the place is nuts. The place is electric, outside the building, the whole bit. I would just say, I think the Knicks, and especially for how long it's been, you got to remember, like, the Rangers, although they haven't won a championship since 94, that team in particular, and now even now they've gone on a second run. It ended this year, and we'll see if they can pick it back up and run with it with their new head coach, Sullivan. But that Ranger team was in the playoffs every year. They had, what was it, 5 or 6 consecutive years of winning a first-round series? Like, they won and played a ton of playoff games. A ton. This is, I know the Knicks have now, this is their third year of getting into the second round. It hasn't, last year was electric, and clearly that series against Philadelphia was awesome, a rival like Philly and New York and Philly and Giants and Eagles and everything else. But they were damaged. Like, they didn't have Julius Randle. They weren't at full strength. And even though the road felt easy, because we all expected them to beat the Indiana Pacers, and especially when they take a 2-0 lead, you expect them to beat the Indiana Pacers. And then they just dealt with too many injuries. But this feels different if they're going to go beat the Boston Celtics. And it also felt different because of the moves they made. Like, even though the last year's team was great and we loved them and we loved, you know, Randle, I'm sure, you know, some people did, some people didn't. But Julius Randle was a super, you know, very talented player, and he's doing quite well in the postseason now for Minnesota. And same thing with DiVincenzo. We love that team. Don't get me wrong. We love the team. This year's team, in a different way, feels like a finality. Like, this is the team that's going to chase a championship with Brunson. I know the news came out today that what a lot of us were expecting, that Giannis is either unhappy in Milwaukee or at least for the first time in his career willing to think about the possibility of not playing in Milwaukee for the rest of his career, whatever nonsense is being reported. But I know there's a chance he could be moved. And I even saw a report that Ian Begley saying that it would be, although unlikely, silly to rule out the Knicks with how well they've been built, the success they've had, and maybe he would want to force his way to New York. I don't know. But they've traded away all their picks for Bridges. They went and got Karl Anthony Towns. Like, last year's team, we were still waiting for the move that brings the superstar. That was still waiting. As much as we love them and as great as they were and as far as they went and as much as we thought, if healthy, they could have been in an Eastern Conference Finals, there was still that feeling of who's going to be the big move. I really don't think there's that feeling anymore. This is the team to win an NBA championship with Brunson leading it. This is the group that's going to have to do it. And so to have that group in year one take on the big, bad Boston Celtics who dominated them during the regular season, like, this feels different to me. It just feels different. And what we're experiencing now as Knicks fans is something we haven't experienced in a long time, even last year. Last year was great. This still feels different. That series against Philly was great. This feels different. This is a level of, this is pulling off an upset. This is a level of victory that they haven't had in a long time. Let's be honest. Even in the 90s, did they ever pull off the victory to this extent? Did they ever knock off the Bulls? Did they ever beat Michael Jordan? Now, I'm not saying Tatum is Michael Jordan. I'm not saying Tatum and Brown are Jordan and Pippen. But this was the level of underdog. This was the as likely as that team beating Michael as this team beating the Boston Celtics. I mean, even that 90s team. All right, they beat the Heat. Very good, talented Heat teams. Alonzo Mourning, the whole bit. But not unbeatable. They beat the Indiana Pacers with Reggie Miller. They were just as good or better than that Indiana Pacers team. This would be the biggest upset I've ever seen the Knicks have. This would be the highest level of victory we have ever seen the Knicks have. I know they won. They went to the finals in 94. I know they went to the finals in 99. They didn't win the championship. They blew it against Houston. And in none of those series, whether it's beating the Bulls without Michael Jordan or beating the Indiana Pacers or beating whoever else, like, it never would have, at least it was never this level of like, oh my God, how did they do this? This is the biggest win of most Knicks fans' lifetime. And they're one win away from it.
Get the scuttlebutt on your favorite teams here on The Fan.
McMonagle here with you on The Fan on this Tuesday morning. Celebratory Tuesday morning as your New York Knicks take down the Boston Celtics in game number four and take a commanding 3-1 lead. Let's relive it a little bit with some of the highlights. We're going to interweave it between the ESPN and Mike Breen television call and the Celtic Radio Network with Sean Grande back and forth. We think listening to a couple things and listening to the call he had on the, I was just watching it on Twitter, the call he had on the injury to Tatum was really, you know, he does a great job. So we're going to go between the two, but let's just start, and we'll react to him as we go. But let's relive a little bit of game four, the biggest win the Knicks have had in 25 years. Let's relive it, go through some of the moments, and put ourselves back to where we were tonight around 7:30 and 9 o'clock as they were taking down the Boston Celtics.
Brunson, three-pointers, good. Knicks cut to two. Jalen Brunson, his second field goal. Domazola wants a timeout after 8 straight Knick points.
Yeah, that was the 8-point run I thought was very important early on in this game because you can't, the one thing you couldn't let happen is let them just blow you away. Like, you couldn't allow that first half to look that bad. Now, they end up being down 11, but it could have been worse if not for that run. That was a very important 8-point run. They're down 16-6. They come back and make it a 2-point game. They actually end up taking the lead. So I think it ended up being an 11-point run. But that is a huge run early in this game to make sure the Celtics don't get away early while the Knicks still were struggling to find a basket. All right, we go on to the next highlight.
4 seconds to go. Tatum going to shoot this one. Steps to his left. It's in the air, and it's another three. What are they going to say now? The first quarter comes to an end with the Celtics going 9 of 14 from three. 15 for Jason Tatum, and the Celtics have a double-digit lead.
Yeah, I mean, and then they respond. That's why the 8-0 run from the Knicks is so important, because they were capable of just banging out threes. I mean, they hit three or four threes there to end the quarter and go on a big-time run. After the Knicks take the lead by a point, they go on a 12-point run. That's what the Celtics are capable of in these moments. They hit these big threes, and they really won the end of the first, the end of the second, up until that second half. They were closing out those quarters with big three-point shots. And the Knicks end up falling behind 11 at the end of the first quarter, despite playing, you know, okay, just couldn't hit shots. And the Celtics taking a 11-point first-quarter lead. And that was really where, you know, you're pessimistic. You're pessimistic. You are. You know you are. I am. Fleegs is. They go on an 11-0 run, and they get a one-point lead, and then boom, four straight three-pointers, and you're down 11 at the end of the first quarter. And you're like, how are we going to keep up with this team? Well, this is how. Plays like whatever we're going to hear next. I have no idea what's coming up. It could be a Celtic highlight. I don't know.
In the corner, Brunson gets away from Derek White, steps to his left, and hits the three. It's down to five.
All right, that was the third quarter. 79-74 as they're making their comeback, and Brunson was incredible in the third quarter. I mean, he just took over the game in the third quarter. He was able to get to the basket. He hit some big threes. His footwork around the rim, his ability to get space. Like, the two things you notice about Brunson, his ability to create space, get to the basket, and get layups when he's going up against, you know, 6'11 and 7-footers, like, is amazing. And also, his ability, we see it with the three-point shot, too, sometimes. He gets guys up in the air and leans in for the foul. Like, we get that. There's also that key moment of Brown with the, maybe that'll be in one of the highlights, where Brown gets called for the flagrant foul by having his foot right underneath Brunson and not giving him a legitimate place to land safely. That was huge. I think Brunson actually missed one of the foul shots, but they get two points and the ball in the middle of that run. That was a huge, huge foul. But his ability to like off balance shots and off timing shots, like he's able to quickly just elevate and take a shot right off a dribble. He seems to just get enough of that kind of quick jump where the defender isn't quite ready to get into his face. Like his footwork, his fundamentals, and his ability to get off shots in tightly contested areas against bigger defenders is really remarkable. But he took over in the third quarter. That began the half that we were all waiting for offensively from the Knicks. As we move on.
Here's Bridges. Bridges pulls up jumper. Too strong. And Anobi tracks it down. Bakes kicks it out. Brunson. Oh, good defense from White, but Brunson still looking, falling away, puts it up. That's good. Jalen Brunson does it again. It's a two-point game. Timeout Boston. And Madison Square Garden has come alive.
Yeah, that was, I mean, his ability to hit those fadeaway jump shots and now pull it within a two-point game. The one thing I'll say about the coaching, you know, we mentioned that Tibbs is out coaching Missoula, and I wouldn't disagree. The one thing I'll say is he's much quicker to the timeout on these runs. Sometimes Tibbs, they go on these long runs, and Tibbs doesn't call a timeout. I'm not killing him for it, but it just, like, they go on that 12-point run. They hit four. Maybe call a timeout after the third three. Like, I'm just saying, like, let's stop the momentum. Missoula immediately will call a timeout after the Knicks go on a little bit of a run. He's much quicker to the timeout whistle. Now, what does that tell you? Nothing, because Tibbs' team responds better after the runs than Missoula's team does. But Tibbs can be a little lacking with the timeouts. Missoula doesn't mess around. That game gets close. They hit a big shot to tie it, or hit a big shot going a 7-0 run to make it a two-point game. Boom, he's banging that timeout.
And Tibbs did have the one last night where when White hits the three, the Celtics go up 72-58.
Yeah.
I think he had one in the first half, too, before the Knicks went on that run. We played the highlight earlier when it was 16-6.
Yeah.
Tibbs called timeout. Then the Knicks came out right out of that and went on their 9-0 run.
Yeah. No, it's true. And that's how you want to. That's an element of coaching, too. How do you respond? How do you play after the timeout? All right, so now it's a two-point game in the third quarter. We're in the middle of the comeback. Brunson's dominating the game. What else do we have?
Brunson drives inside, kicks it out, and Anobi. Wide open three-pointer. It's good!
And that gives the Knicks the lead. OG Anunoby, I was waiting for Breen to say it. Yeah, I know. I was waiting for Breen to give you that. It gives him the lead, but apparently that gave him the 89-88, as I said, 87-86. 86-85, rather, excuse me. 86-85, that was a big-time three. He had a couple. OG Anunoby toughed this game out. He has that, I don't know what happened if he got hurt on that dunk layup, and he looked confused. He went up to the basket. It looked like he wasn't sure whether he wanted to dunk it or lay it up. Maybe he did hurt himself a little bit on the jump up, and he didn't get as high as he was expecting. I don't know what happened, but it was a really weird play where it looked like he was indecisive on whether to lay it up or jam it home. He ends up missing it and then grabs for the hamstring a little bit as he's playing defense. He goes back. He's not in the bench. They announce that he's not on the bench. He's back in the locker room. He comes out with some ice wrapped around it, but gets back into this game and makes big plays, makes big steals, makes big shots, including that three-pointer that gives them the lead in the third quarter. So right now we are in the third quarter. The Knicks just take their first lead since 28-27, I believe is the graphic when they showed it during the game. They take their first lead since 28-27 in the first quarter. Now they're on top by a point here in the third. We move on.
Rebound Bridges. 8 seconds remaining. Hart in the front court. Hart to drive. Gets to the rim. Bang shot is good. 2.5 remaining.
Yeah, Hart's ability to get to the basket. I didn't think this was one of his better games, and there was a stretch where the offense, played well without him. But I mean, he's so integral in what they do. He's so important on how they play. His tenacity, his rebounding, he does whatever you need him to do. Like honestly, on nights where you need him to score, he'll give you 20. He's not going to give you much more than that, but he'll give you 20. He'll get you big offensive rebounds. He'll get you big steals. He'll get you big assists. Occasionally hit a big three, but in this game, they needed him for different things, and in that moment, he's able to get to the basket. His ability to finish around the rim, especially coast-to-coast, is as good as any in the NBA. So, big basket there to close out the third quarter after really not being able to close out the first or second, where the Celtics just dominated in the last minute and a half, 2 minutes of both of those first two quarters. The third quarter was different, and now I'm assuming we head to the fourth quarter. The Knicks have a 3-point lead heading into the fourth quarter. And this is where Mikal Bridges begins to flex his muscles in the fourth quarter of this game with Jalen Brunson on the bench.
Boston down three. Tatum steps back behind the line, launches, and ties the game with his sixth three of game four.
Big boys. Big boys.
He is out of the phone booth tonight. 36-7 for Jason Tatum. We're tied at 96. 8:08 to go in game four.
Big boys. That's funny. They're having fun. They should have fun. Not having fun anymore. Not because of the Tatum injury, just because they're down 3-1. But yeah, I mean, Tatum, that stretch too. When I talk about the difference between the Knicks having offense other than the 3-point shot and the Celtics really not, like the Knicks being able to create, the Knicks having multiple guys who can get to the basket, the Knicks running screens, the Knicks doing different things, and the Celtics just figuring out a way to take threes other than Tatum taking over. I mean, he was so important for them. The Knicks would have pulled away if not for Tatum hitting every big shot. He was incredible down the stretch. That's what makes it even more disappointing for him. And it wasn't like he got hurt on a bad game. He was dominating. He hurt his wrist earlier in the game on an OG Anunoby foul. And yet he was able to rally back, played in a brilliant game, but ends up getting hurt. But there he is right there tying the game with a big-time shot as he really was playing well and dominating the Knicks in that fourth quarter. What's next?
Porzingis rolling to the basket, runs it too hard off the glass and misses in close. New York by one on the ball. Brunson pulls up on Derek White, pulls it back out, finds Anunoby. Anunoby steps past Porzingis, goes to the left hand and scores. Timeout, Joe Mazzulla.
Yeah, another timeout by Joe Mazzulla. Yeah, no, I mean, OG Anunoby really played well in this game, especially, and coming back, he averaged 4.5 points over the last two games. He scored 5 in game number two, and he scored 2 in game number three. He scored 7 points between those two games. He needed to have an offensive performance if this Knicks team was going to win. He ends up with, 20? OG Anunoby with 20 points in this game. There were two right there after the hamstring injury and all. So he was clutch down the stretch as well. They needed every ounce of every player, and they got it from OG, from Bridges, from Towns, from Brunson, from Hart, from Mitchell Robinson, from everybody, McBride. All right, so now the Knicks have a lead, and again, we've talked a lot about this game, Mikal Bridges in the fourth quarter and how he played, especially in the early part of the fourth quarter with Brunson on the bench. Bridges really dominated in the fourth quarter with his short mid-range game and is a huge factor in this win with the Knicks tonight.
Pass in the corner. Bridges off the bounce. Has to get it off. Puts it up. It's good. Mikal Bridges knocks it down. This is the largest lead of the series for the Knicks. Timeout Boston. 23 for Bridges.
Yeah, Bridges with a huge shot gives the Knicks the biggest lead they've had in the entire series. Let's be honest. They haven't had leads in this series. It's been, you know, they don't have a lead until the last few seconds of the game. Over the first two. So to jump up and get that lead, Bridges in that moment, Bridges in the fourth quarter, incredible. And now we get to the play that will, you know, be the most significant play from this game, maybe the most significant play moving forward in the series, the steal from OG Anunoby and the injury to Jason Tatum.
Tatum or Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown dropped it. Picked off by Anunoby. He will go the distance. Two-hand slam. And Tatum is hurt. Tatum is hurt. Tatum is still down. He is screaming for a timeout. And in a New York minute, everything has changed.
Yeah, in a New York minute, everything has changed. Sean Grande does a good job for Celtics Radio. Yeah. I mean, that changes everything. You feel for him. That, I mean, Celtic fans, I know... Dave Portnoy put out a thing that you can't think of wins and losses right now. And while obviously that's not true, I mean, they're down 3-1 in this series. It's devastating. But the idea that their best player just might have a devastating season long. I mean, he's not going to be around next year if it's the Achilles, which is what it looks like. I don't want to speculate. We don't know for sure. If you go to one of the, I forget the name of the doctor, but that Twitter doctor and all those different places, you can kind of see in one of the angles that it kind of has that sickening vibration look to his calf muscle that we remember so well from Aaron Rodgers, that kind of snapping and vibrating of the calf. You kind of see that a little bit. And there is some speculation that that could be it. And if it is, I mean, that is a devastating season-long next year kind of injury, and one that'll make you question whether or not Tatum will ever be the same player he was earlier in this game. But unfortunately, that did happen for them, and fortunately for the Knicks, they had already pretty much sealed the fate of this game, but they were looking for one more dagger from their superstar, Jalen Brunson.
Brunson looking, step back, three-pointer. It's good! Rattled around and dropped through. Knicks up a dozen. Brunson with 38.
Knicks up a dozen, and that was really it. And how many times have we seen in this series that ball rattle around the rim and bounce out? To have it kind of rattle, jump up just a little bit above the rim, and then sink back down to give them a 12-point lead and really secure the victory. I know it got a little bit closer. It got down to 7, a foul shot missed, but ultimately the game was over on that shot. And we get the final call right now as the Knicks seal the deal. Take game 4, take a commanding 3-1 lead over the Boston Celtics, and head to Boston for a game number 5 on Wednesday night.
Pitcher, a couple of fakes. Can't get it to go, and now dribble it out. This series is now 3-1 in favor of the New York Knicks. So many former Knicks players, coaches, obviously, on to celebrate.
That's the great Mike Breen on ESPN television last night, and it is fitting to hear him say that because you know how excited he is. He's got to do what he does. He's a professional. He's been the prime voice of the NBA, not just the Knicks, for a bunch of years now. But this is a significant Knick win. And even though it's not next to Clyde, to have Breen on the call. And I saw someone give me a stat. I wish I would have written it down or taken a picture. They've been in this playoff series. They've had an incredible record when the games are on TNT and have been awful on ABC and ESPN. Awful. But last night they pull it off. Breen's there on the call on ESPN, and the New York Knicks are one game away from arguably the biggest upset this city has seen in 50-plus years. And without question, the biggest series victory the New York Knicks have had, arguably in my lifetime. That kind of level of upset. I know I've seen them in the NBA Finals twice. This would be an upset on another level from the New York Knicks, and we are now one game away.
You're juggling work, life, and imploding bullpens. We get it. And we got you. New York Sports. No filter. The Fan. 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Let's go, 3:50 on this Tuesday morning. I got you for another hour or so as we take you to the warm-up show at 5. The morning after, the New York Knicks take a 3-1 lead in the Eastern Conference semifinals. And we have reason to believe. We are now, like, they still have one more win to get in the series. It's not going to be easy. They have to play like they played in the second half of last night. They're going to have to do more. Celtics team is defending champs. They've lost their best player, yes, but they're still capable of shooting a hell of a lot of threes. They had 2 games in Boston with 20-point leads, and let's be honest, Tatum didn't even play that well in those games. So this is a team still capable of beating the New York Knicks. And the Knicks have to go out there and prove it and earn it, and it's one more win before you get to an Eastern Conference Finals. But the path, man, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but the path, man. It's not crazy to go beat the Indiana Pacers. That won't be easy either. They throw a bunch of guys at you who can score. They play about 9, 8, 9, 10 guys. They are, you know, obviously we're seeing their superstar become something special here in the postseason, hitting big-time shots. He gets under your skin, Halliburton. Obviously, his father had some issues with Giannis and everything, but he is a pesky. He's a pesky kind of guy. He's a pest on the court. He hits big shots. He's got a chip on his shoulder about being voted the most overrated player in the NBA by his peers. Like, that is not going to be an easy series, but that's a winnable one. This was the bar nobody thought they could get past. This was the hurdle nobody thought they could leap. This was the series that was going to end their season because they were incapable of winning it. And they are 1 game away from proving everybody wrong. 888-808-1019. Stuart in Brooklyn, what's up, Stu?
One more game, Chris.
One more hill to climb, baby.
One more hill to climb. Let's get it done. End it in 5 games.
Obviously you want to end it as soon as possible. And if they lose game five, I wouldn't call them doomed for the series,
no.
But I do agree with you. I think game five is more important than game three. And everybody told me how important game three was, particularly now without Tatum. They got to go out there and prove, you know, they got to make sure the Celtics don't have any belief that they can win this thing without Tatum. Like I want to step on the throat.
I agree with you 100% because you got to put them down when they're down, and if you let them come back for Game 6, all bets are off.
Man, think it happened.
You don't know what's going to happen in Game 6. And Brunson, again, well, he came back off Game 3 and he performed like the person we've been seeing all year long. 39 points, and OG, thank God OG didn't get seriously hurt, and Towns had his 11 rebounds. And they play well as a team. And Bridges is proving everybody wrong, isn't he? Especially in the fourth quarter.
Oh, I mean, almost exclusively in the fourth quarter. The guy's terrible in the first half of these games.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he comes out.
In the fourth quarter, he's coming through. Big time.
Huge. And especially, you know, Tibbs, and thank you for the call, Stu. Tibbs likes to give Brunson some time on the bench at the start of these fourth quarters to get him ready for the final minutes, you know, the final half, or maybe, you know, a little more than that, about 8 minutes or so. They bring him in for the final 8 minutes of the fourth quarter, knowing that's when he dominates, that's when they need him, that's when the most clutch player in the NBA takes over the game, so they give him a blow at the start, and they couldn't afford to be stagnant offensively because Tatum was killing it, right? The rest of the team was struggling, the threes stopped, you know, early on. White hit, his first 4 threes, he hit them all. So early on, you got some contributors. But really, by the time the Knicks had taken the lead and Brunson did what he did in the third quarter, they were pretty much relying on Tatum, and he was there for him. I mean, they relied on him, and he was there for it. So, like, the offense couldn't be stagnant without Mitchell, without Jalen Brunson. They couldn't afford it. They had to keep up pace with Tatum, who was killing it. And that's where Bridges came in. And what I love most about what Bridges did was it wasn't like they were finding shots for him. It wasn't like he was hitting open corner threes, or he was taking the ball and he was being extremely assertive. He was taking control of the game. He viewed it like we all want him to view it when Brunson isn't on the field, on the court, that he's the guy. That's why they traded 5 round picks for the guy, because he's capable of being the guy. And for the first 5 or so minutes, maybe a little less than that, but the first 5 or so minutes of the fourth quarter with Jalen Brunson on the bench, that's exactly what he was. And more than just being the guy, he made sure he was the guy. He went out there and took it to the paint and gave himself easy 5, 6, 7 foot fadeaway jump shots. His mid-range game is excellent. I heard Wally Szczerbiak talking about that. The shots he was taking were 78% shots, 80% shots for Mikal Bridges while they're chucking up threes. Like, the Knicks weren't forcing it. The Knicks weren't just chucking up threes. The Knicks were getting to the paint. The Knicks killed them in the paint. Karl Anthony Towns, Bridges had layups. OG Anunoby had layups and dunks. You know what Hart does when he gets to the rim. And then the mid-range game in the paint from Mikal Bridges in the fourth quarter was crazy good. They had all these different ways to get to the basket and score, and the Celtics didn't have it. They had 3-point shots and Tatum. And it wasn't enough. And it wasn't enough before the injury. This game was sealed before the injury. The Knicks went on one hell of a run, and Mikal Bridges had arguably his best game as a New York Knick and is proving exactly why that trade was made and earning every single one of those picks.